Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm just excited, as I always am. Today has been a day I pray and hope for you to relish in what God has done for you, to just be excited for what he's about to do in your life. And I pray that you have shared with somebody a good blessing, a good word, or just a blessing of joy that you have received and you want others to know about the goodness of Jesus Christ. And I have my guest in studio with me again, Brother Harold Copeland. And he is going to continue on this mission road of teaching under the umbrella of discipleship. Now, we are going to be on a different topic, same teaching series, and I will let Brother Harold communicate to us what we've been talking about and what we are going to be moving into on this particular teaching series, on this particular point. And we are still in the teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. So I pray and hope that you have received and gathered rich manna from heaven, that you will grow and go in grace with what Brother Harold has been bringing to the table in teaching us concerning the atonement. So we've got Brother Harold, if you would share with us what we're going to be learning on today, still in this teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship.
Amen. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. And hello again, everybody. God bless you always. Welcome to the broadcast. And you know, I am Brother Harold Copeland. And as was said, along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, you got it. We are in studio together again. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast. We want you to know it's always an honor. It's always a privilege to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know we love you. We appreciate you. We thank God for your life. But most importantly, remember, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And every time, that's right, every time you are faithful to the broadcast, to the studying and reading of God's word, and you open your heart to receive the word of God, God has always downloaded revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit that will take you to your divine destiny, and you too shall fulfill God's plan and call on your life. As was said, we're still on the series under the umbrella of discipleship. And the topic for today will be eternal life. Somebody say eternal life. Now listen, eternal life is the most important teaching that anyone can receive. Eternal life is the good news of the gospel. And as we break it down and open up the scriptures, you will see how important this beautiful gift of eternal life is. And we always like to start out with our Launchpad scripture. And our Launchpad scripture comes out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. Starting with verse 16 all the way through verse 20. Let us read that, please.
Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
Amen. He is with us always, even to the end of the earth. Receive the beautiful promise in your heart. Nowhere you find yourself at, it doesn't matter. You're not alone. Regardless of your circumstance, you don't have to face them by yourself. Regardless of the situation, he's still with you. And he is working all things together, our Jesus, for the good. It may not look good at this time, but guess what? God isn't finished with it. The enemy may have shot his best shot. Now it's God's time to shoot his shot. And when God finishes, everything will be good and beautiful, and guess what? We win, win, win. We already got the victory. Eternal life. God goes all the way to the end and gives us victory. And then he takes us back to the beginning and tell us to walk it out by faith. In other words, it's a fixed fight. You remember the old days in boxing. They used to fix some of the fights. They knew who was going to win before the fight even started. It was staged. Well, I tell you what. In this journey, it's been fixed. In this fight, this battle, It's been fixed. We cannot lose. It's a win-win situation. And we're just walking together to the end. And we're walking together through the Word of God, because the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We shall finish the journey, and we shall cross the finish line in victory. And it's all because God loves us. And because we believe God loves us in spite of us. And his love for us is not based on our doing, but it's based on what Jesus has already done for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of the works, the finished work of the cross by Jesus Christ, when we believe, we receive this eternal life. Now, our foundational scripture will come out of the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Yes. But we emphasize the terminology, eternal life, if the same as everlasting life, the same as life everlasting, the same as the new birth, the born again, the born again life. All terminology points right to eternal life. Now, in the scripture that we read, we know that's a very familiar passage of scripture. John chapter 3, verse 16. That's one scripture. It seems like everybody knows that scripture, whether they believe it or whether they do not believe it. Everybody hear that scripture at a young age, whether they know what it means and receive it, or whether they do not know what it means and reject it. But they know it. That is in the Bible. And they can go and find it in the Bible. If they can't find nothing else in the Bible, they can find John chapter 3, verse 16. I watch a lot of sports events. You see this scripture in the stands at football games. NFL football games, college football games. Most often at the Super Bowl, the championship game of the NFL, you see the scripture, John 3:16, at the basketball games, in the stands, the college students, some of them write it on the the Chester Banks College Fraternities, NBA basketball games. We see it in baseball. This scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16, especially at the World Series. It seems like everybody knows the scripture. But through the scripture, I'm going to show you that John 3:16 has been misunderstood by many and has been misapplied by many. And I tell my testimony because I'm just as guilty as everybody else. And the scripture says, for God, you know, the Spirit of God has given me a mandate. When I see the name of God in scripture, that I do not leave the presence of God in the page of the scripture. The God that loves us, so love. I mean, that's a big word. It's a small word, but it means a lot. So love. You know, when a little child wants to emphasize her loyalness to some here, the child will use that two-letter word. So it was so big, you know, and riding with the father in the car. Daddy was going so fast. You can't believe it. So this so love. Amen. It's a love that we don't analyze in our own understanding. It's a love we can't figure out. It takes faith. But I'm here to tell you, God wants us to have it. Amen. It's the best thing that we can receive from God. And this love comes with the eternal life. So love the world, that's God's enemy. So love. And guess what? I was there. I was on the other side. And you were too. But because of so love, it is, that's hard for me to do. It took a long time. Amen. Took me a long time. Amen. Because I wanted to be mad at my enemies. But God so loved his enemies. Yes, he's teaching me. Why? Because he's doing a work in my heart. And he's doing a work in your heart. I tell you, he's shaping and molding our hearts just like he is. What was said earlier, wonderful scripture, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Well, how does he do it? I'm glad you asked. According to the power. Well, where is the power? Working in you. Working in me. And that exceeded that work that goes beyond our imagination by the power of the Holy Spirit teaches us to so love. You know, somebody told me that you can't give nobody else what you don't have. Amen. So you got to get it for yourself. And then you can begin to release what you got, what I got in the lives of others. And you see where I'm going with this. That so love comes with the eternal life. That whosoever believeth in him, his only begotten son, Jesus, amen. And I'm going to get him off the pages of the book. Amen. I'm going to get him from behind the cloud. Amen. I'm going to get him just out there somewhere. Amen. And put him in his rightful place because of soul love. He's in our hearts. Oh, yes, he is. He's always closer to us than we can think, than we realize. Hallelujah. You know, there was a song that says, you are the air I breathe. And he is the Roha. Amen. The spirit. Glory to God. That same breath that God blew into Adam after he created Adam and formed him from the dust of the ground. Then he blew into Adam's nostrils the blessed of life. That's that Roha. That's the spirit of love. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, it is. The very presence of God himself in us. Oh, we can't keep him behind the cloud. Hallelujah. He's God. He's omnipresent. We can't keep him out there in the atmosphere somewhere. Hallelujah. He so loves us that he come forth and take his abode in of the inside of us. And he allows us to take our abode in on the inside of us. And the two become one. Amen. So we're still looking at the scripture. And in my young days, I thought that the scripture was meaning that Jesus came and died for our sins so that we wouldn't perish. Thought that for years. Now, that is true. Oh, yes, it's true. And it's beautiful. Amen. I receive it and wouldn't have it no other way. But the true meaning is not the forgiveness of sin. Amen. To not perish. Or to not get the sin forgiven and get life insurance to say, oh, I'm not going to hell. Fire insurance. That's not the true meaning. The true meaning of the scripture is saying, the real purpose of our Jesus living in you, living in me, amen, not behind the cloud. I refuse to keep him on the pages of the book, and I refuse to keep him behind the clouds or out there somewhere. He's in me, and he's in you. And guess what? If somebody is saying, he's not in me because I'm not saved, this is the greatest day of your life. Because in Mission from the Heart Radio, we are establishing ministry and doing every broadcast by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Word of God. We always take God's people to the foot of the cross, and we always give them the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord, a personal Savior. So guess what? Before the broadcast is over, you got it. You too will have the opportunity to have this Jesus, this soul of the Spirit of the living God dwelling, abiding, and living in you. So the true purpose of John 3:16, the true purpose of Jesus coming to this earth and dying for us so that we could have, you got it, eternal life, everlasting life. Now, there was a barrier between that great reason, the ultimate reason of the gospel, the ultimate reason of scripture, the ultimate reason of soul love. There was a barrier. We had a barrier that separated us. And that barrier happened to be sin. And that sin stood between us. And we reaching out with our heart and to grab that eternal life and bring it in us. So Jesus had to get the sin out of our way that he can give us the ultimate gift that anybody could receive. Amen? If one has a mansion in the earth realm and don't have this eternal life, they don't have anything. If one is riding around in the Lamborghini, and this life, this eternal life, is not in them, they don't have anything. If one bank account is loaded with trillions, but in their heart, they don't have this life. They're poor. They are the poorest people on the earth. And I thank God that it's true that our Jesus, yes, I hear you talking, living in us. And I hear somebody say, when the nudge of the Holy Spirit comes and we go to the cross, I can say he's living in me too, in the form of eternal life. And it is true that we believe on our Jesus. We will not perish. And I have to say this a couple of times because I was guilty of missing this. This is not a believing in the head. I just say it like that. Just believing in our hearts. Amen. And I'll speak more on that later. And if we believe, we will not perish. But listen, my brothers and my sisters, there is much more than the gospel than that. The real message of the gospel is that God, oh yes, I hear you, agree with me, the God in you, the God in me, and the God that's going to be in those who go to the cross with us today, is that God wants to give us this everlasting life. Let's look at John chapter 10 and verse 10.
John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly.
Praise God. Now, before we talk thief and about the life of Jesus, let us let the Master give us the definition of this eternal life. And that will come out, that definition, coming out of Scripture, the book of John, chapter number 17, verse 3.
John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Amen. To know God, the only true God, to know Jesus Christ, who he has sent, is eternal life. And I had a pastor that used to say it this way, to know in your knower. See, the word of God is powerful. It's like a double-edged sword. It cuts coming and it cuts going. As the word is being released, it's cutting my heart. Hallelujah. And the word of God is cutting your heart. Man, a spiritual circumcision is taking place in the heart. That's all part of the knowing. Receive it. Amen. It's not a natural circumcision, a spiritual circumcision, where the word of God cuts off the contamination and cuts off the debris, the carnal debris, and sometimes demonic debris that gets in our hearts. Amen. And it all comes with this knowing of eternal life. Eternal life is knowing in the knower, amen, not just to know that he sits on the throne and rule, how great that are. Not just to know that he's omnipresent, yes, he's everywhere. But to know that he has, God has position. It's a position. God has positioned himself in you and in me and in those that are going to the cross by the word of God and the power of the Spirit, a position, a knowing. Hallelujah. The most beautiful thing that we can know, glory to God. You know, if we have multiple doctor's degrees and we don't know this eternal life, we are dumb and uneducated. Amen. We cannot be educated without knowing the most important thing, relationship that we all need to know. We are empty without him and our knower. Without God and our knower, we're empty. Without this eternal life and our knower, we are empty. There's an empty void just waiting in every human being. An empty void waiting for the Creator to come in and fill it with his eternal life. The resurrection life. The abundant lives. And see, until the Master come and give us this eternal life, that the only thing in the heavens and in the earth and under the earth that can fill this void in us, we'll try to fill it with somebody else or something else or another substance or another drug or alcohol or a job or work. We'll try to fill it. Because the desire has to be filled. And since the Creator created us, he created us in a way that his soul love, he left that emptiness on purpose. So his soul love can come within in the form of eternal life, resurrection life. the divine life, the power of the living God, the Holy Spirit working in us. Amen. You know what I like to say about that Holy Spirit? That God is doing a work in me and through me with no help from me. Amen. And see, when he began the work, I didn't know. I'm guilty. I was trying to help him out. Glory to God. And then sometimes I would try to drive. Amen. Getting all in the way. And God just sat back and waited. Till I said, God, I can't do this. God, I can't make it work. I can't drive this no more, God. I can't drive it no more. God, I don't even know how to fly this plane. I need to get out the pilot seat and go sit in first class. And you know what God said? Please go do that. So I can release my will and my plan in you. In the form of, yes, you got it, eternal life. Knowing the Father, the only true God, and knowing Jesus Christ, whom he sent. That's what eternal life is. A knowing. A relationship. And see, like I was, and many other Christians, we thought that eternal life was living somewhere forever in a place. But then to realize that everybody, every person lives forever. Every person. It's a misconception for us to think that when a person dies, they cease to exist. In our reality, the spirit and the soul go back to God if we have received the everlasting life in us. If not, the spirit and the soul goes to hell. And whether it's heaven or whether it's hell, it's going to be forever. So everybody lives forever. And this whole body goes back to the dirt, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Every person who has ever lived on the face of the earth will continue to live in spirit form. Hallelujah, Jesus. So to say that eternal life is living forever is not the whole truth. Everybody, the saved and the unsaved, lives forever. And John 3:16 makes it very clear that eternal life with God automatically given to everyone. There's a disclaimer. It says, whosoever believes, there's a condition. Only those that believe in him, the one he sent. Then when we believe, we freely receive this everlasting life. Why? Because now we know everlasting life, to know God and Jesus Christ, the one who he sent. And I have to bring it in there because this simple teaching is a life changer. But one has to personally bring it in to their hearts, not into their heads. This is not intellectual. The Word of God is spiritual. And God is a spirit. In John chapter number 4, verse 24. Let's read that. John chapter number 4, verse 24.
John 4, 24. And it reads this way. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth.
Amen. See, when we believe, that's the disclaimer, the condition. We believe in our spirit. Our hearts, our spirit. And what God does by the power of Holy Spirit, he releases that life. Immediately when we believe, he releases that life in us. It's really the resurrection life of Jesus himself. When Jesus speaks of the abundant life, he's speaking of my life. I give you my life. Paul spoke in one of his epistles. That's in Ephesians. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 20. Excuse me. Let's make that Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20.
Galatians 2, 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who
yes.
lived, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen. That's that eternal life. Christ's resurrection life living on the inside of us. See, that old Harold is dead, buried, and gone. Amen. But there was a resurrection life imparted in our spirit. Amen. It wasn't just any type of life. No. You say, I'm crucified with Christ. So Christ died, and the old us died with him. Amen. But Christ resurrected, and he came in us and resurrected our spirit life by placing his eternal resurrection life on the inside of us. Hallelujah. We got a new life. God speaks of it. Beautiful, wonderfully made. No matter what's going on, God knows us by the Spirit. And in our spirits, we are beautiful. This eternal life is beautiful. This eternal life is wonderfully made. This eternal life is glory to God, the apple of God's eye. Amen. Even if we fall, amen, God don't know us by our failure. Amen. He knows us by this life in the spirit. He said that's the only way we can fellowship with him is spirit, because he's a spirit. And if we fall, we'll fall in our souls, in our physical body. And our souls and our physical body do not communicate to God. Only our spirit fellowship and communicate to God. Spirit to spirit. Born again life. To born again alive. Hallelujah. And you know, I love this life. Glory to God. Because this is our God life. Man, this is our Jesus life. Amen. This is a supernatural, divine life created in the image and the likeness of our Father. And because of that, the book of Romans say, by the Spirit we cry out, Abba Father, Abba Father, Abba Father. Amen. And the translation of that in English is, I got a daddy, I got a daddy, I got a daddy, I got a daddy. He art in heaven. Hallowed be his name in the heaven. Hallowed be his name in the earth. And when they say earth, he's talking about out of our hearts. Release a hallelujah out of the heart, out of the spirit man, out of this beautiful and wonderful life. You know, there was times I couldn't say that I had a father. Amen. Because my earthly father wasn't really a father to me. Amen. And he was an alcoholic. Amen. And in all reality, God has taught me how to love and forgive through this eternal life, this power he has given me. But before I encountered this eternal life, I was ashamed of my earthly father. He was a disgrace to my life, and children laugh at him because he was the down drunk. But now, since I'm born again, hallelujah, and I have forgiven him. Amen. And he passed now, but I loved him before he passed. But now that I'm born again, God is my father. And I can stand on the mountaintop and say, I got a father, I got a father, I got a father. In the valley, I can say, I got a father, I got a father, I got a father. Hallowed be his name out of my heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Holy Spirit nudges me, there's someone that can't say that about God the Father. They can't say he's my father. They can't say I'm his son. They can't say I have this eternal life. They can't say the resurrection life of Jesus Christ is on the inside of me. They can't say I'm filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead has quickened me. They can't say that. The Holy Spirit is nudging. Amen. And the anointing of salvation is on Minister Kenita Smith. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit use her as I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God, she takes us to the cross and we can fulfill the disclaimer, we can fulfill the condition of receiving this eternal life by believe in. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a time where we always want to get serious with ourselves as we come to the foot of Jesus and just cry out the best we know how. What must I do? How do I become saved? And if you get an opportunity, take the opportunity to read about Jesus having an encounter with Nicodemus and what Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus on how to become born again. And this is our time in this ministry that we love to extend Jesus to all of those who may be listening to this broadcast, because it would be wrong for us, Brother Harold and I, to assume that every listener across the World Wide Web is a believer in Christ Jesus. So we do not want to miss this opportunity of extending Jesus to you, that you would come into the ark of Jesus Christ. So prepare your heart. Prepare your mind to focus on Jesus Christ, that your heart would follow suit and receive eternal life. He is our eternal life. That's a promise, as Brother Harold has beautifully taught us through Scripture what the Word of God says concerning eternal life. So for those of you who would touch and agree with us, my brothers and my sisters, that you would pray with us as those who do not know him, without a shadow of a doubt, that you would bow down, humble yourself as we go through to the throne of grace and pray a prayer of salvation for you, that you would receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So let's pray. And for those who are partnering with us in prayer, my brothers and my sisters, lift up that person, whether it be a spouse or a family member or a sister, brother, cousin, or even a co-worker. Lift them up by name to the Lord, that you would continue to intercede for them in prayer, that the day will come that they would ask Jesus to come into their heart. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, here I am. Now, these are my words, but it's your heart, my brother. It's your heart, my sister, as we prepare ourselves for Jesus. Lord, here I am. I come to you the best I know how. I humble myself before you, and I come asking, surrendering all that I have with lifted hands and an humble heart. I come asking that you would reign over my life, that you would sit on the throne seat of my heart, that you would lord over my soul, that you would transform me because I know I need a Savior. Lord, here I am. I've done things I know I shouldn't have done. I did it today, Lord, and I'm asking for you to forgive me as I repent of the thoughts that I should not have thought about today. And Lord, I know I acted so foolishly today that I come repenting to you. Help me, show me, transform me, turn me away from the things that I lust after, that I know I should not have in my heart. Purify me, Lord. Purge me from the things that I know are not healthy for me. I cannot do this alone. I need you, Lord, to walk with me daily, as I know you promised that you will. Lord, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. It was his blood that was shed for me. I know that Jesus covered my sin, and I could not do it in and of myself. Lord, here I am, coming to you with all love in my heart for what Jesus did for me. I know that John 3:16 says that he died for me, that I may have eternal life. And Lord, I know that's what I want. This day, I surrender to you my life, that I may be born again. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and thank you, God, for hearing the prayers of the righteous, for they avail much. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for partnering with us in prayer. And you, my brother and sister, who has accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, praise God from whom all blessings flow. We encourage you now to engage in a Bible teaching church. Seek out one in your community that you would be baptized by submersion of water. And I tell you, when you arrive, what a celebration, what a joy. Let people know from this day forward you are saved. Let them know that you are a Christ follower. It may not be easy in the beginning, but it will be so easy as you continue to grow and go in grace. Seek out a small group Bible study in that church, a Sunday school class, and continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio, that you will continue to grow and go. I tell you, we're excited for you. We are so blessed that you received God the Father, Jesus as your Savior. And we rejoice with the angels. I tell you, it is just a joy to know that you have done the most beautiful thing in your life, and that is to give your heart to Christ. Amen to that. Amen. Brother Harold, we've got a few minutes before we end this broadcast, as you may want to say some things before we close for today. Brother Harold?
Yes. Congratulations, my brother, my sisters, and thank you, my brothers and sisters, that stand with us and taking this message to a lost and dying world. Now we know. We know. We know God. And we know Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. We have eternal life right now. Not an intellectual knowledge. Remember that. And I say this in closing. I was watching a teacher teach one day, and there was a beautiful anointing coming out of that teacher. And as he taught the word so eloquently, when he came to the end of the word, he mentioned how he went to theology school and graduated. He graduated, but he wasn't saved. He didn't have this life. And he said, it took some years. And he pointed to his head, for this word to drop from his head, intellectual head knowledge, down into his heart, where the word became alive and he received eternal life, the most intimate personal relationship we can have in the entire world. And this life is so important. This relationship is so important. No other relationship would even work if we don't have this first relationship of eternal life, a heart-to-heart relationship with our God. Congratulations. You have it. We love you. God loves you. And we will see you again next week. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Harold. Yes, we will be back on next week, continuing our series, the series Under the Umbrella of Discipleship. Always remember that the grass withers and the flowers fadeth away. But you can surely, surely remember that the Word of God will not fade away. It will remain forever and ever. And that's a promise. And as we see, the Word of God has been here for years, over centuries and decades, and we are so rejoiceful for that. So we will return on next week and continue with this teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. God bless you and remain joyful.